seven contracts were awarded from 2001, not completed. You see the story of our country. And they also operated 362 bank accounts which lacked proper reconciliation. This is the country we are living in abject poverty. See how our public funds have been put to use. So that's part of the discovery there. There's a statement from this. I don't like this paragraph, and I would need to see if I can get one or two of their members. It says, this paragraph says, this came as the Pan Nigeria Delta Forum (PANDEF) expressed indifference to news of the submission of the report of the forensic audit. I found that strange.
Mm-hmm.
I found that I'm slightly disturbed. Because PANDEF really has been in the forefront of the struggle for the development of the Niger Delta.
That's right.
Okay, so 1 trillion, over 6 trillion, sorry, has been devoted to development. And we have now discovered 13,777 projects that are uncompleted. And yet you now want to express indifference. I hope to get a reaction from this paragraph. But they then said that the federal government should not be selective in punishing those behind the credits. Oh, for the governments we had in the past, this same Buhari man would have been parading certain names of people who have been picked up as we speak. Let's see how far the government will pussyfoot on this. Let us see how far. The NDDC, all of us know, NDDC, NNPC, all these oil-related agencies have been a gold mine. There's been a very big cake, made for everybody to key into. You can come in with a teaspoon. You can come in with this little plastic spoon they give you for ice cream. You can come in with a shovel. You can come in with the big saucepan. You can come in with anything and take what you want. Okay? And so let's see how far. Let's see how the government will go about this. The government says that no matter whose ox is God, they're going to get to the root of it. And so let's all stand by and watch this thing happen.
Right. Join us on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's know what you think. We're going to go to the Punch right away. Page 43 of the Punch. Cabinet, cosmetic change or governance reset? This is written by Ayo
Lukotun, my good colleague. We were both in the Compass newspaper, and I love his writings. By the way, Ayo Lukotun is a professor. Yes, I forgot, he's in one of the private universities. And what he has done here is to do some kind of analysis on the recent cabinet change. And he says, is it a cosmetic change or is it governance reset? This paragraph amuses me, the second paragraph, where he says, of course there are problems with the inherited military language and pastime of sacking with immediate effect, which reinforce an authoritarian mindset and the idea that speed and dispatch are superior to due process and lawful changes. The point should be made that what we ought to aim at is perhaps the British tradition of asking ministers and public officials found wanting to resign their appointments rather than bold and somewhat inglorious practice of firing or sacking them, which is a carryover of the military years. I think the mood I am in now, I couldn't be bothered. If a man is not working up to that, either you tell him to resign or you sack him, let him just get out of the way. But that should apply to everybody. That should apply to everybody who is not living up to his expectation. And so if we can't sack certain persons, they should fall on their sword and make the ultimate sacrifice. It should apply to everybody. We are running a country. We are not running a humanitarian organization. Look at one of the stories we are going to review later today. Now the currency has gone up to 720 to the pound.
That's right.
This time last year was 500, which in itself was high. Every day, our debts are going up. Every day, the exchange rate is going up. Somebody must be held for all this. The buck stops on the table. But anyway, so he now talks about he now says that as a matter of process, one would have preferred for government to go the whole hog, which is what I said 2 days ago, to carry out the reshuffle at once rather than in a piecemeal fashion, which could look like the sort of Damocles dangling around the personnel who are necessarily kept on their toes. In other words, Buhari should avoid going from one extreme, that is, hesitation to fire ministers, to the other extreme, namely, holding the hovering axe of sack over his ministers. There are obviously several reasons why holders of high office should be fired. These include corruption or abuse of their position, indolence, failing health, falling out of favor with the chief executive, political differences, amongst others. But he now says that if we do a bit of design thinking, we can isolate burning governance issues that demand urgent attention of Buhari's regime as he begins his journey to timeless less than 2 years. Top on the list, security. Then there's the economy, you know. The question is, has the Buhari government gotten a pass mark on security and the economy? You Nigerians will leave you to judge because you employed him. So we leave you to judge.
Indeed. Donatus Unkanta on Facebook says, Pandef is panicking because their members may be indicted.
Of course I knew that, but it was not going to be from my mouth that it would be said. That's a smart one. He got it. Of course I knew that. That's we all of us have a fair idea of what has happened in the NDDC. And I'm almost sure I can make a bet. I can bet all my year's income that the list that will come out might not be complete. Yes, it might become compromised. The NDDC was a place to go pick up any. You heard what's the name of the slim gentleman, the medical doctor who was put in charge of works, when he said one senator said he wanted 1.5 billion and were able to quickly package something for him. We saw it on television. We saw how the place was run and the fainting MD. We saw all this. So let's wait and see how the government would handle this. It would be very, very interesting. Get your coffee and biscuits ready.
Yep. Let's go to the business and economy page of the Punch newspaper. This story here, it says, Twitter ban remains, says NCC, as Nigerians lose 220.36 billion naira.
My computer almost packed up yesterday. I was trying to test, you see. But this is just to bust your bubble.
Yeah.
The Twitter ban in Nigeria is still in effect, according to the director, NCC, Ikechukwu Adinde. And he said there has been no communications from the Ministry of Information to lift the ban. Okay, the story says that some Nigerians had on Wednesday reported gaining access to the app without VPN on their laptops. But the Punch correspondent explains that the reported access to Twitter had only been on internet service provider networks and not through the mobile networks. I don't know all this touringy. I really don't understand it. But bottom line is, Twitter is not yet back.
Indeed. Straight to page 31 of the same Punch. Naira sinks to 530 against dollar. Pounds hit 720.
How far down is our currency going to go? Right from the time that we had this gentleman who overnight brought us from almost being at par to 4-1 to in my lifetime, our currency rate against the dollar is now 530. Yet you will have a lot of American trained economists and some of them will say that the Naira is still undervalued. How far down are we going to go? Now, look at in the market now, everything has almost doubled. From toothpaste to toothbrush to name it. Everything, including foodstuffs. But income hasn't gone up. And the average Nigerian now is being turned into a beggar. You beg for this, you beg for that, you beg for that, you beg for this. And this is not a matter of economics or analysis or whatever. It is clear something is not quite right.
It's right there.
And it is also very clear that it is those who run the economy that we will hold responsible. It's very, very clear. Buhari supporters will come up, he's building infrastructure, he's doing all this. Fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that. We give him credit for that. But what about the economy? What about security? These two things are very, very vital. And unless we tackle them heads on and know what exactly we are doing, I mean, I am a bit worried about the economic the direction of our country. I'm worried about the rising debt profile. I'm worried about the exchange rates.
Mm.
I'm worried about the fact that in some years from now, oil will no longer be the commodity that it is that we rely on. So where are we going? Where is the direction?
Mm.
Nigerians, you should please ask these questions. Young people, ask these questions. Your future depends on this. All these debts that are being piled up, is your time that you will pay for them. So ask these questions peacefully, intelligently. Don't sit on the fence and just keep grumbling. You should stand up and ask these questions. What is going to happen? A lot of these, some of these loans have a moratorium of 10, 20, 15 years and thereabout, which means that you don't start paying until that time. That's the meaning. If you don't know, you better know it now. We are a dying generation. You need to start asking these questions. I call on you to ask these questions. And get involved in governance.
Get involved.
Get involved. This is the ticket. The bomb is, look, the pin is out of the grenade. We just need to remove the finger that is holding the unit that, before it explodes. 720 naira to a pound. Do you know what that means? You want to buy 1,000 pounds.
Mm.
Not even to go on a holiday, but even to pay school fees, no need. You even want to buy a book, whatever, you need 1,000 pounds. You have to go shop for 700. I remember when we were young, we used to, when I was in primary school, one of our classmates, they had a bug word or so, this funny kind of thing. So, Mr. Latiche is a millionaire way back then.
Mm.
Everybody is a millionaire now because he has no value. But what is also sad is that income is not going up.
Right.
So the outflows are wide. The inflows are very thin. In some cases, none at all.
People are losing their jobs.
Those that are
employed are underemployed.
I don't know. By the way, we will still go to lean on it. We will forever, as long as Emefiele is in office, we are going to ask him to explain this is birthday party that he had in Jamaica. It looks, because you see, these little things translate to bigger things. This is the man that's handled the economy. And these little things like that are a sign. They're a sign. So when we ask these questions, we expect to be answered. We will not take that arrogance of thinking that nobody has the right to. We do have that right, and we will exercise it. And I expect some of the human rights organizations to take him up on it. Just to ask him a simple question, what is it? Because look, let's face it, anybody running anything in any country must be somebody who would be stable.
Mm.
He must be stable-minded, he must be a man of his own, and he must know what he's doing. So we need to know what kind of person is in the driver's seat. If you are going on a long journey and it looks as if the driver, he doesn't know how to avoid potholes and things like that, you'll ask him for his driver's license and so on and so forth. And you will do an alcohol test on him. So we will keep asking Emefiele that what happened when you turned, was it 60 or 70? I think it was 60. What happened when you turned 60 and it is reported that managing directors of banks, all the top influential people, went all the way to Jamaica? Because if it turns out that it was frivolous spending, then we have a fair idea of who's in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
But we still give him that chance to answer us and tell us what exactly happened at that. And we will not relent.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
I have a couple of comments I need to take on YouTube. Adeshina on YouTube says, a consistent increase in exchange rate is as a result of CBN governor's flip-flop monetary policies for our economy. Our economy is not that bad. That's why he's saying that it's because of the monetary policies from the CBN. Patrick Odua, on the other hand, says, why are we complaining about this Naira now? We import everything. We manufacture nothing and kill small businesses daily. How do we expect the Naira to perform any better? And one other person shared his own opinion.
I like the two opinions that I given. They're quite valid. But the question still is, Is our economy bad as it is? Is it being handled by competent persons? All the way to the top, we have to ask that question. What is the economic? We can't sit back and just watch. Every day the thing goes up by 2 naira, by 4 naira, by 5 naira. Every single day. Now it's gone up to 720. The dollar is 530. Half of some of the people we relied on have been sucked into government. So we now don't know what to do again.
Right.
Yes, because, I mean, to put it bluntly, I would have loved to put a call through to Bismarck Rewani to come and explain what's going on to us. But he's in one government committee or the other. And, of course, by the ethics, he can't say anything.
Someone said that we actually could earn a lot of money, but then most of our exports are stuck at the ports. But goods are coming into the country, but it's very difficult for our own goods to leave the country. Patrick, on the other hand, says all government agencies are killing SMEs, from SEC to CBN, FIRS, FRCN, customs, state agencies, etc. They continue putting levies and penalties on companies that are trying to survive and do business.
It's because there's no clearinghouse for all this. Do we have a unified government? That's what it is. Do we have, it appears from that gentleman's comment, if we were to take it, that everybody does as he wishes. Do we have a center clearinghouse for all these things? Somebody that looks at these things from a holistic point of view. And also, there's a saying that, now the person who owns where we see today, we don't know what we'll see tomorrow. If what you are seeing from NDDC is 6 trillion, and 13,777 projects uncompleted. Do you think it's exclusive to NDCC alone?
I don't think so.
So we are living a lie.
There is still this Northeast Development Commission. We don't know. I mean, I would love for them to at least give us audited account of what that commission has spent so far in rebuilding the Northeast.
By the way, is the story about us having a naval base in Kano true or false?
I can't confirm.
But you are the news guru now.
I know, I'm not the news guru. You are the news guru.
No, I'm not the news. My own is analysis.
Don't turn it. No. On this program, yes.
No.
In real life.
Wait. Who reads the news? Is it not you?
I read.
Okay.
I read.
No, wait.
I don't produce.
Wait. Calm down. Be calming down. Don't off your mic.
I'm not going to off it.
The news
CEO. So let's take another story. Page 7 of the Punch newspaper. 21,500 stranded Nigerians returned from Libya, Mali, others. Why are you shaking your head now?
My reaction to this is it true that we have a different okay, let's get down to this one. I know, it's only God that will save this country in reality. Because I tried yesterday, I was going through the internet trying to ascertain, and it looks as if the story is true. And I'm asking myself, a naval base indicates that you should have water, you know, you know, you should have some access to water.
Yeah.
And I need to go and check the map.
What are you going to do if you're a Navy and you're in a lockland area?
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But you see, if we all sit down, those who know should come out and tell us what exactly is going on. This is our money being spent. It is for reasons like this that you have this kind of story about the dollar and the pound. Those who know should come out. I don't know the propriety of it.
Yeah.
I'd love to be educated.
I'm interested as well.
I would love to be educated.
And I hope it's not true.
Well, let me know. Even if it is true, I want to know the rationale. Because it is our money that is being spent as we speak. Do you know what it is to set up a naval base? How much it would cost in these times? How would that help in prosecuting the war against Boko Haram, the immediate threat that we have? And do you have a threat that the Navy can attend to if there is no water, if there is no river or ocean or whatever? Philip, you're a young boy. Can you check the Nigerian map and see if there's any ocean nearby? I don't understand these things. Oh, this is your laughing.
No, but I'm with you on this one, really. I would love to know the rationale behind it.
Is it true?
I would love to rush. I mean, look, I'm seeing this. I would.
It is being reported that Ganduje gave 300 acres. Fair enough. I mean, fine. But I just like to know. I'd like to, if there's anybody who has the experience, I wish I could find a retired Navy officer who would be willing to tell us.
There's another one here saying that Navy board approves new naval base in Kano.
In Kano, what publication?
This is Daily Sun. There's another one here, The Punch. There's another one, Nation.
How did we miss it here? It's incredible.
And this was a day ago. This was yesterday.
Yesterday, we missed it.
Yeah, we missed it. No. Yesterday was actually very tough. Yes, it's possible. I mean, it's very, very possible. Like yesterday was, we were loaded.
But thank God we didn't even have it.
It would have complicated things.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, 21,500 stranded Nigerians returned from Libya, Mali. My address to young people is: there's nothing in those countries for you. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in those countries for you. I see a lot of you wanting to opt out of Nigeria. Fair enough. It's valid. But be careful. Know where you're going and what is likely. The last place you want to go, Libya, Mali, all these places, drive across the desert all the way through Maiduguri to go into slavery. These 21,000, they're very lucky. There are probably another 5,000 that are stuck in these countries. Sex slavery, complete menial jobs, living under the most terrible conditions. So you got to be careful. I'd say 60% of the returnees were male and 40% were females. Okay, and we thank the government for, you know, making efforts to bring these people back, because in truth the government could turn the other eye to say that, well, we didn't send them anywhere, but they've done that. And so we plead with you to be absolutely careful, you know, when you think you want to jump off the boat. You don't jump off a boat that is still sailing and jump into fire in the water. You don't do that. Or you jump in the water when you can't swim.
That one.
Listen to this story. Sorry. There's this guy, Osimeme, a victim. He said, I returned to Nigeria after being trafficked as well, and I decided to do something. I was about to cross the Mediterranean Sea when I returned. If I was properly enlightened, I would not have gone in the first place. When I returned, I left my family for 1 year and went through self-reintegration. I vowed to help others by offering them psychosocial counseling, vocational training, and mentorship. What's this gentleman's name? Osimene. His name is Osimene. Osita. If I can lay my hands on him,
yeah,
he should come tell us the story here.
All right, we must go now.
We must go.
Yeah, we've dealt with a couple of issues. People were arguing over the naval base story. But we'll leave that to you. These are the kind of conversation we need to get into as young people. We need to dip our hands and open our eyes and hear clearly, you know, the major discourse that we should be engaged in, not trolling people. But we must go now.
Yeah.
We have to go. What's that sound? I heard pimping now. That's your $1 million watch, right?
Don't yap me now. You know?
That's a $1 million.
You know, it's a pimping watch. It's a small kid's watch.
Is it pimping?
It's my grandson's watch. Yeah, pimping. Just telling me it's time to go and drink tea down the road.
Correct. That's what big men do. All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Sheriff.
I'm Sheriff Quadri. We'll be back.
Mommy, when is Aunt Valerie coming again?
So you can seize her phone again, Abby.
Watching cartoons on her phone is so cool. But yours is...
Yeah.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.